You are listening to KBO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is Talking Earth, and I am Patrick Bocard, board op and occasional host of the Talking Earth. Tonight, we are airing a Walt Curtis show from July 2022. Walt wanted to create a new show for tonight, but he has been unable to do so due to illness. I spoke to him a couple of days ago, and he seemed to be doing better. We both agreed to air this show, originally from July 2022. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Talking Earth, and I got interested in Cajun music. Beau Soleil, it means beautiful sun, and then this little album is really kind of neat. It's Louisiana Cajun classics, but I'm going to play snippets of this, but how are you today, Patrick? And
I'm doing well.
Well, you brought some Baudelaire, but we're gonna talk about some other things. But
here on KBO Portland.
What are we gonna talk about, dear? Okay. KBO Portland.
Yeah.
I had a birthday on the 4th of July, and I'm no more birthdays, so I cut it off. But I actually have liked the fireworks display. The Chinese did beautiful pyrotechnics. And I think that, and this was in the front part of my Malinoche book, but you know, and fireworks were sort of banned. We didn't really have, pets hate fireworks, don't they?
Yes.
Dogs just go nuts. I've seen dogs run down the highway.
Our cats hate them, too.
Oh, do cats hate them, too? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this poem is not very long, but for me, and I'll do a little more Cajun, then we're going to get back, but I want to make this. I've done this in many ways, and so let's just do it now. 4th of July fireworks. If you can make love against the black sky like 4th of July fireworks. First there's a wobbling upward and soothing gasp of pleasure as the orangish, bluish, white fingers curl and expand with a poof. Reach out, touching and embracing. And here's the kicker. Then there's a boom. If the making love is good, which you feel in your belly forever like a bomb blast. When you look at fireworks, remember this delicate tracery which lasts only for seconds, etches itself in eternity. The orgasmic acts of you and your lover go. Poof. Boom, if you're lucky. Body and soul, thrill and dazzling freedom, thunderous wonder, as the night sky flowers in gorgeous falling fiery bursts, which darken shimmering and metallic, a spark at a time, just as our love fades, neuron by neuron, startlingly satisfied. We are recorded in the heavens by such humanly manufactured displays, love competes with the stars. Well, anyway, it was my 81st birthday, and I don't, no more birthdays, unbirthdays. When you're younger, your birthday is your Earth Day because you're growing into your life. And when you're older, like I am, your birthday is your death day. You'll soon be in the cemetery. Yeah, in the cemetery. A little more Cajun, and we'll cut it off, and then we'll keep going. Cajun music, and it's French dialect, isn't it? Creole, and everybody loves New Orleans, and they like the black music, which I do too, and all of that. But I love the Cajun music. I really got deeply into it. I got deeply into it. There we go. And Zydeco came from here. The Zydeco.
I thought Zydeco came from New Orleans.
What's that, dear?
I thought Zydeco came from New Orleans, didn't it?
No, but that's Cajun background.
Yeah, no, it's Cajun music, yes.
Okay. We're enough of that.
Yeah.
You were in the record store, so... but actually, I think the Cajun people are outside of town.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not in New Orleans.
No. I'd like to go down there because I really like them. And,
but, I mean, that's kind of like the Louisiana's kind of the roots of, like, it's the roots of jazz and it's the roots of Cajun.
Well, you know, Cajun, though, we're going back to Evangeline, you know. Let's just do a little quick history lesson. Thomas Jefferson bought the Louisiana Purchase from Bonaparte. He was out of money, and the French.
Yeah.
And then the Louisiana expedition, Lewis and Clark, they didn't know what was out here, but that increased the United States half or more from St. Louis on, and then poor Meriwether Lewis was made governor, and it got complicated, and but the great Lewis and Clark expedition, Meriwether Lewis was the personal secretary of Thomas Jefferson, and when he committed suicide at Grinder's Stand, he was trying to defend his political career. There was only one woman witness, and Grinder's Stand was on the road back to Washington, D.C., And they claimed he committed suicide. Well, it was baloney. I mean, he was assassinated, you know, and people even had his horse and some of his saddlebags with some of the notes from the Lewis and Clark expedition. And, you know, I like this show to be as a little historical. I like literature and history. So mixed together, and I think we always need to know the context of when the poet or the writer was working. See, and you've got Baudelaire, and we could talk about Paris and that period there. Are you ready? Why did you pick Baudelaire?
I just happened to be reading him.
You just happened to be reading him. Yeah, you've got Les Fleurs du Mal. I was looking for my
Flowers of Evil and Paris Spleen.
Yeah, I love Paris Spleen, and actually, Baudelaire was a huge power on, and I'm going to do a Edgar Allan Poe thing, but
he translated Baudelaire.
Baudelaire translated and made
Poe.
made Poe international character on the scene. And Murder in the, remember Murder in the Rue Morgue?
Yeah.
And actually, Poe is known for creating the detective story. That's enough sound bites, but...
Yeah.
Where do you want to go? What poem did you get?
I am going to read this prose poem.
Go ahead, yeah, please.
Very short, from Paris Spleen. The dog and the perfume bottle.
Yeah, can you hear?
Good dog, nice puppy, come here. Come smell this excellent perfume from the best perfumer in town. And the dog wagging his tail, which I believe is that creature's way of laughing and smiling, came over and stuck his curious wet nose to the uncorked bottle. Then he backed off abruptly in alarm and barked at me reproachfully. Ah, you miserable dog. If I offered you a sack of excrement, you'd have smelled it with delight and perhaps devoured it. In this regard, my friend, you're like the public, to whom one should never offer a delicate perfume.
Repeat that line. I like that again.
In this regard, my friend, you're like the public to whom one should never offer a delicate perfume. It exasperates them. Give them only carefully selected garbage.
Well, you know, that's cast your pearls before the swine. You know?
Well, the other thing is that...
Read another one. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
While he did help Poe's reputation, he didn't have the best reputation in France while he was alive.
Pissed everybody off. He made him angry, yeah.
Yeah, well, not just that. He wasn't as... I mean, he thought he should have been more famous and...
He got very mean old man kind of guy.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. But he was great. He would...
Give me another one.
He described what was going on in the street as opposed to beautiful flowers somewhere else. I don't live by this poem. But yeah, this is another prose poem from Paris Spleen. Get drunk. Always be drunk. That's it. The great imperative. In order not to feel time's horrid fardel bruise your shoulders, grinding you into the earth, get drunk and stay that way. On what? Wine, poetry, virtue, whatever, but get drunk. And if you sometimes happen to wake up on the porches of a palace, in the green grass of a ditch, in the dismal loneliness of your own room, your drunkenness gone or disappearing, ask the wind, the wave, the star, the bird, the clock, ask everything that flees, everything that groans or rolls or sings, everything that speaks, ask what time it is. And the wind, the wave, the star, the bird, the clock will answer you, time to get drunk. Don't be martyred slaves of time. Get drunk forever. Stay drunk. Get drunk. Unwind. Poetry. Virtue. Whatever. Yeah,
I'm
kind of a hypocrite reading that. I haven't had anything to drink in like 6 years.
Oh, you're not a hypocrite. Your cat. Now, let me see the French.
Yeah,
I think...
I have it. The bookmark is...
Yeah, you have Le Fleur de Mal. No, you don't, but anyway. He got into trouble. L'un déclare avec son ardeur la trois et trois maisons de nature... Nature, one lights you up with ardor, another offers you his gloom. Ce qui dit est l'une sépulture. That which says to one, the tomb, dit la autre, vie et splendor. Says the other, life and splendor. This is called the alchemy of grief. You know... Give them Les Fleurs de Mal, the flowers of evil. But you know, do a little bit more. Did you have some little more notes? You said another fellow had been Baudelaire.
Clark Ashton Smith was influenced by Baudelaire.
I don't know who he is. So
he was a contemporary of. He wrote fantastic fiction like horror and fantasy. And
oh, really?
But the thing is, he was most influenced by Baudelaire. In that Baudelaire's like the start of the decadent poets. Everything is going to die.
Yeah.
Just get drunk and just do whatever. And that's kind of...
Well, that's called the purple... The motte
Purple prose?
No, the Purple Century. I mean, the end of the decadent era is called the Purple.
Well, that was definitely a big influence of Clark Ashton Smith, because everything's dying and falling apart. And
where did Clark Ashton Smith write from? United States or?
You know? Yeah, he lived in California.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a lot like Lovecraft in other ways, which I won't mention, but. It's too bad, but
seems Lovecraft, like, we did a little bit on Lovecraft.
Yeah, well, he had unfortunate opinions about ethnicity and all that. But at the same time, he was a little more worldly than Lovecraft was. But the thing is that it seems like from what I've read of Baudelaire, he was much more. He was fine with anyone's ethnicity. He just lived out in the world and knew it was all terrible.
Well, okay, sort of.
It seems like. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Walt.
Well, no, we're not. We're having a dialogue here. I have you here just to correct you.
Well, yeah, but you might know more about Baudelaire.
Oh, there's a lot to deal with. I have a museum photo, actually. I thought I might do Rimbaud and Verlaine were lovers, and Bob Dylan has a famous line, our relationship was like Verlaine and Rimbaud, who ran away to Harar and became a gun runner and et cetera. But, and actually he caught, Rimbaud, I call him the punk poet. He quit writing at 20. Now is the time, A Season in Hell, and Henry Miller championed him, and Rimbaud has Now is the Time of the Assassins. And that's what Henry Miller called his take on Rimbaud.
Yeah.
But we'll give us a little more. And I wish you had a poem here, a personal poem.
Oh, I might eventually, but not right now.
Okay.
Metamorphoses of a Vampire. You could guess where Clark Ashton Smith got influenced, and why Baudelaire loved Poe as well. The woman, in the meantime, she with strawberry lips, moved like a snake on embers, writhing from her hips, kneading her breasts upon the iron edge of her stays, in flowing words, impregnated with musk, she says, I have a humid kiss, I well know the science of shaking loose in bed the bonds of antique conscience. I dry up every tear, my bosom is triumphant. I change an old man's laugh to the laughter of an infant. For him who sees my nakedness without the scarves, I am the moon, the sun, the heaven, and the stars. I am, my dear savant, so wise in ecstasy, that when in my dread arms I smother men on me, or when to bitings I surrender up my breast, timid and libertine and fragile and robust, upon these mattresses agape with gaiety, the angels, impotent, would damn themselves for me. Do you want me to keep reading?
You do what a lot of people do at open mics and stuff. Maybe you need more breath space in some of these things.
Don't read it
as fast. And more phrasing. Don't read it so fast. But that's all right. Read some more lines.
After she had sucked up every gout of marrow.
That's...
I turned to her again, despondent in my sorrow, to give a kiss of love, and I discovered this, a goat-skinned flask with gummy sides, a sack of pus. Shuddering in horror, I shut both my eyes, and when I opened them again to living lights, there lay beside me not the lusty mannequin, who'd seemed somehow to get my blood beneath her skin, but, trembling in confusion, a skeleton's debris, without a wind, it gave a weathercock's cree-cree, or like a signboard hanging on a shaft of steel, swinging in the winter night, sets up a squeal.
No. I think you should keep reading. You said you're expert in, or not an expert, you're German. German.
I'm bisschen Deutsch.
Okay. Well,
you don't know what I said.
Yes, I do. Deutsch is German, and I know...
You know what Ein bisschen Deutsch means? Was bedeutest du?
What does it mean?
A little German.
Oh, a little German.
mein Deutsch ist sehr schlecht.
Well, you know, I would want to give you maybe a Hermann Hesse, his poems book, but I don't find them to be that exciting. I like Herman Hesse, who did Steppenwolf,
Demian.
Steppenwolf, Demian. He had a huge run in America.
Last Beat Game.
The Last Beat Game was intense, and it,
I haven't read that one. I read Demian.
Demian is a great one because with Demian you had
that was early on too.
Yeah, I think it's bisexuality and Demian. Well, we named somebody's kid Demian, but. We'll take a little. We gotta move on, you know. But it's too bad. We can move on, but we to hell with it. We're just gonna move. We'll do a little Billie Holiday here. Do I like that one? It sounds kind of wimpy.
Once I was young.
Okay.
Yesterday, perhaps.
Well, that works for a birthday thing for me.
Dance with Jim and Paul and kiss some other chaps. Once I was young, but never was naive. I thought I had a trick or two up my imaginary sleeve. And now I know I was naive. I didn't know what time it was. Then I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was. How sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was. You held my hand, warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, hear your touch, hear your voice, say I'm all your own. I didn't know what year it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love, and here it was, shining out of your eyes.
You know, what about this time issue with you? Now, I know you're not my age. I turned 81. Time and death, and what do you think about all that? Are you starting to feel some of that? I mean, you don't have to tell
that
me.
That I'm old and creaky? Yes.
Well.
Like my cat? Yes.
Your cat's, but you're not your cat.
No.
You identify with your cat.
I identify with my cat. My cat identifies with me. He's old and creaky, too, now.
But
we're all gonna, you know.
What do you think about time and death and all that garbage? I mean, you know, garbage. I don't believe in an afterlife, and I said this is going to be an unbirthday show, which it is for the fourth. But you know, to hell with it. I'm not going to think about it. People want to read my tarot. They want to read my palm. Well, when's Walt going to die? To hell with you. I'll die when
yeah.
I die.
Well, the tarot wouldn't necessarily tell you that.
Well, I know some people who could really read.
Oh, they would think, okay.
They were very good, actually. They don't read my, no one reads my tarot. I don't want my fortune told.
I don't know if you want that.
I don't.
Yeah.
I want to keep on trucking until, you know, I drop dead. We were talking about Jerry Garcia, and this will be politically incorrect. I don't really care. I met him at Ken Kesey's, and he's a stone cold-eyed heroin addict. Around the table, he wouldn't talk to me. And then later he would die in rehab. And the kids loved, you know, the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, there's lots of musicians that were heroin. Charlie Parker.
Oh, a lot were.
Kurt Cobain.
And we were talking about Lenny Bruce here, died of OD. And
Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday did.
Well, was it heroin for her? I can't remember.
It was heroin, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a, yeah. Actually, you know, I have to say this. It's like when I was working at a record store.
Tell us an anecdote, yeah.
And this is slightly
personalize
different.
This.
Yeah, I had a, you know, one time I dyed my hair green. I was young. I was in my 20s. Dyed my hair green. And then the owner of the record store saw that, you know, I dyed my hair green, and I worked at a record store. It was kind of a... You know,
was like, that on the East Coast, or...?
No, it was here in Portland. And the owner, I'm not going to say his name, and I'm not
going to
say
the name of
the store,
that.
But, like, you know, it was kind of, he was kind of influenced by All About Jazz. And this is, like, a long time ago, and he was like, I'd rather... He said he'd rather I did heroin with his money than dry my hair green.
Oh!
But, like, think about it. From his perspective, he's a jazz aficionado. I mean, what happens if you do heroin? You start making music?
Yeah,
like
but I don't think anyone in their right mind would be laudatory about heroin.
No, he shouldn't have been.
I know so many people who had their lives deconstructed. Marjorie was an addict because... she went back to Nepal where her Cockney, and actually where anyone who wants to know, Penny Allen is coming here who did Property and Paid Her, but Leanne Grable has done 400 drawings for the Marjorie Book class lady.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just heard from the Oregonian, you know, that, and this guy wants to me to tell him a little more about Marjorie, but... she didn't tell me later. She, Marjorie Sharp. And you know what? The French are so doctrinaire or bureaucratic. Everyone gets credits on the Property movie in France. It's sort of famous in France. And because she only used the name Marjorie, and they wouldn't put her name in there. Marjorie Sharp, you know, because they didn't have a last name for her. You know, the French are, man, they're
so something. She doesn't get credits for it, but...
I didn't see it on the credits, you know, in the...
Are we sure it's the French, or is it just
the... No, it's the French. No, this was a, you know, a celebratory French version. It was sent to me, but I had to get it... their DVDs don't play here, see?
Oh, yeah.
No, they don't play here.
No, I know.
And
they're different regions.
I had to pay $6, you know, to get bilingual or a translation of Property. But let's keep on rolling here, keep on trucking. We'll play a little Billy later on. And actually, you think of where you want to go about something in a minute.
I can read something
right now. Let me do one thing here.
Okay, go for it.
I have there's a great photograph of Verlaine, and there was some kind of supper that all the, and Baudelaire was there, and Verlaine and Rimbaud were there. But here's from A Season in Hell, Un Saison en Enfer. You know, I like. Je ne suis pas prisonnier de ma raison. J'ai dit du. I'm not a prisoner of my reason, I said God. Je veux la liberté. I want salvation. How am I to seek it? Frivolous tastes have left me. No more need of devotion or of divine love. No more regrets for the age of tender hearts. I reserve my place at the top of the angelic ladder of common sense. As for... established happiness, domestic or not? No, I cannot. I'm too dissipated, too weak. Life flourishing through toil old platitude is, for me, my life is not heavy enough. It flies and floats far above action, that precious focus of the world. What an old maid I'm getting to be, lacking the courage to be in love with death. Well, I'm not in love with death, but if only God would grant me celestial aerial calm, prayer, like the ancient saints, giants, les sons de four, les anchorites, you know, anchorites, the anchorites, the de artis cum il no fo plu, artists such as are not wanted anymore, the saints were artists, force continuel mon innocence me ferre pleurer. That's just like the word for rain. My innocence would make me weep. La vie est la farce, amener partout. Life is the farce we all have to lead. Enough! Assez, voici la punition, the punishment. En marche, march forward. Oh, my lungs are on fire. My temples roar in the sunlight. This night rolls through my eyes, heart, limb. He's the punk poet, seen in the hell and the drunken boat, Arthur Rimbaud. And I'm sure Rimbaud and Baudelaire knew each other, you know, but. Tell me a little more about Baudelaire. Why did he get so sourpuss?
Oh, I don't know. Well, he didn't get he wasn't as famous as he felt he should have been.
Well, that's called ego. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but at the same time, I don't know that much about him, but I know that he had the choice of joining the army or writing poetry and being broke, and he chose being broke and writing poetry.
Well, you know, the early photos of him, he's very dapper, very handsome.
He could have been a dandy, and he decided
to. Oh, God, yeah, he was a dandy. Yeah, no, go ahead with that, because it's true. He's magnificent, and I thought I had some great photographs here of him. What I wanted to continue here with, I think I'll do a little more, and I want you to chime in, because we're winging this, you know. We're absolutely winging this. Maybe we're winging it. There is so much stuff, you know. This I've done before. I won't read it. It's a shocking poem, Rimbaud. But I'm not going there. I'm trying to find the... this is rain and fire... blood streaks the sky, my fist crammed up your ass. Disclaimer, hand and hole are a butt flower. Stars are not more passionate than we. Tighten your sphincter so I don't have to go back to the world. I love you more than a brother. I hate the world, and the world hates me. And ad lib here, because we have to... What did I do with the damn... I know, there it is, maybe. But go ahead.
You want me to read something?
Yeah, read it. We got to keep the energy up.
This doesn't have a title. I'm not going to read it slow, because it's a page and a half.
Oh, don't read too much of it. No, go ahead.
Well, you kind of need to...
Jump around on it, Joe.
We would like to thank you, Mexico Gomez, excuse me, Mayor Wheeler, for your ability to teleport around the Moneyverse and provide space for our workforce in Old Town. Dankeschön for leaving empty planters all along the watchtower. No, I am mistaken. Sixth Avenue to keep all the undesirables from setting up their tents and giving our hard-working, non-tax-paying employees somewhere to sit or lean on while slinging rock. We thank you for not enabling the various businesses in Old Town to survive either through tax breaks or rent forgiveness, instead gifting them money to move into other parts of town citizens are more likely to walk through. Thanks. Thank you, City Council and Metro, for ensuring that Portland has the entertainment district it deserves. We hope the city's attorneys will aid the cause of our persecuted employees as well as they did the fool who stabbed a clean and safe officer with a pen in the back of his head. While he made bail in a month, we would prefer the next day street delivery afforded to Portland shoplifters, since the pen is mightier and therefore more dangerous than the sword. We thank Portland City Slowdown, excuse me, the police union, for their support in our endeavors, from refusing to arrest to lobbying to keep our profit margins higher than unregulated supply and demand would justify. Without your efforts, the cartels would, okay, not fail, but make a lot less market share. Sure, you object that your policy preferences are only influenced by what works best for Portland, but excuse me, sir, here's your taking, sir. Signed, Real Gangs of Portland.
Well, you know, let's comment on that lightly. What does that mean to you, what you just did? I mean, do you see the tented camps and the...
The thing about the tented camps is that those aren't the gangs. Oh, you talk to
me. I want a little politics here. Yeah.
Those aren't the gangs. And the thing is, the whole thing is moving... I mean, kind of what's going on is that there's a war between the gangs who used to have the turf downtown. You know, they
is
used,
that your take on it? Yeah, because
they
live
used
downtown.
To have the turf downtown, but they lost it during COVID because they didn't feel like gutting it out, and no one was coming around to buy anything by the those products we spoke of earlier. And then the homeless people kind of, the tents came in, they took up the turf, and now other people want the turf back. And the question I'm asking is, like, why? I mean, yeah, everyone wants the businesses want the homeless out, and yeah, okay, great. But you really think the gangs aren't going to move back in because they already are?
Okay. And do you hear the gunshots downtown and stuff?
Sometimes, yeah, and it's mostly homeless people getting shot at.
Oh, yeah, no, with gangs, most of them are the ones that go down. There's only a few side victims,
Well, no, the thing is, it's not a war between the gangs and other gangs. It's a war between the gangs and the homeless people who may also be selling stuff.
Well, they probably are.
Yeah,
but,
that's kind of what's going on, is that the most...
Well, you live down by a Central City concern. I won't say where, but you live down there.
Yeah, I live in the... Yeah.
And down
They've
there...
They've done a wonderful job there.
Sandra, you like what they're doing?
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, sarcasm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm being like Baudelaire.
Okay, you're being...
I'm being mean-spirited, like an old grump, like Baudelaire.
Well, catch you. Then. I'll just pump it up. Everybody just, hold on. Yeah. Cajun music.
Well, goodbye, Joe. We got a...
Oh, this ain't gonna get no more. That's really kind of a waltz, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just saying a little. I like to break it some music a little bit, and I'll turn it down. I like the Cajun thing. I'm gonna go to Louisiana. I want some energy in this. Okay, we'll break that down, and I have to bring Poe, but I have to bring Poe back in.
Yeah, let's bring Poe in right now.
So when I learned how he died, what happened was, what happened was the politicos, he was such a famous guy in Baltimore, that they took him around during the election nearing, because he's a famous guy, he's going to get him some votes, maybe something like that. And they made him drunk, and he wasn't, his brain wasn't up to it. One of the great quotes in here is, when he was really strong, Poe, quote, "My whole nature utterly revolts at the idea that there is any being, capital B, in the universe superior to myself." And I, at the bins the other day, I got a 1,000-page unabridged Poe, and I'm not going to do that. So let's skim this just a little bit. A letter to Edgar A. Poe. That's what he called himself, Edgar. "Dear E.A. Poe, you're long since dead. Nevermore. When I think of you, I see black bells ringing the tintinnabulation. Your word, a raven alighting on a black and broken branch, then squawking, roosting the top of a fir tree not far from the family back door, pretending to prophesy the rustling of black crepe paper." You know, in those days in the 19th century, they left people in the room, corpses overnight or two until it got too hot. And so everybody could visit the corpse, you know. An elaborately constructed coffin comes to mind. It didn't do any good, Poe. Specifically fitted to have an air pipe, food in case of emergency, and a buzzer to call for help. You didn't want to be buried alive. And in that era, you know, a lot of people were, they died, and they were, you know, they thought they were dead, and they wake up on the mortuary table. But, you know, given the state of contemporary mortuary science, present-day medicine men, yours was a reasonable request. Did fans of poetry listen at your burial site? The dark runnels of rain, flooding ditches of winter, rotten leaves, rain, constant weeping mist, a downpour, gusty, hard-blowing storms. They bring no peace in wet monotony. I hate black winter in Oregon. The musical sun entombed in the clouds. Rob that jewel from its grave. The tintinnabulation, tiny, tinny bells, the raindrops drumming in the drain spout keep a saturated mind awake. The telltale heart tapping out its prelude to cardiac arrest, a monkey trained to murder, that's murder in the Rue Morgue, a yelling suburbanite bricked in his own wine cellar, the gold bug whose followers are legion, every damp one of us owns a piece of your dire, dire vision, the doper with drooping mustache, sinister cinema on Saturday night TV, the red fish, face of a friend of mine on LSD rubbed raw. He swore he could see the arteries and veins beneath the mask of skin. Tarantula ghoul. What actually did happen to your walking corpse? And this is what a pickle in booze like us in a Portland tavern. Rumor had it, politicos commandeered his person during a campaign caper. You were picked up in Baltimore, drunk out of your mind, near Ryan's Fourth Ward polls, 1st of October, 1849, taken to the hospital unconscious. Delirium set in, vacant converse, with spectral and imaginary objects on the walls. You said the best thing your best friend could do would to blow out your brains with a pistol. Wanting to sink into the earth, violent DTs, resisting two nurses, calling out for one named Reynolds, whoever that was, rest for a short time. His last words, you know, I liked all these last word things. Lord, help my poor soul. And then I said he was, aren't we childishly curious about the words of a famous man? Will they impart a magical secret off the deathbed? Edgar, if I thought it was any drier there in Richmond, I'd trade places with your glossy bones. Who wants to be buried anyhow, scorched, pulverized, or hung in a tree? What's going to happen to my body? Sad, temporary thing painted and sculpted by myself and my friends. The microorganisms, the vitamins, the glands, the fickle loves. A freckle is an electable dot. The iridescent green moss thrives on soft stone of funeral vaults, chills in a hollow muscle of my heart. Poe is dead in the deluge. Only one thing makes me feel more melancholy, to gaze with sorrowful eyes into a muddy chicken run, stupid birds coldly pecking, clawing at the slop, their cream and dark excrement in the barnyard. Though Eureka, this is the last paragraph, was your ultimate speculation on the universe, you had nothing else to say. Creation came from a germ of energy to expand in an electrical cloud of matter, to contract in annihilation. He had a girlfriend he called, my dear Muddy. You nicknamed your lady friend, wanting her to commit suicide with you at the last, writing her wildly, with whom you were willing to share your last $2. Now give my regards to the raving. What you're really writing about was the business of decease. Sir, cease. Anyway. This death thing and all of that, and that was the Cajun. We don't need more goddamn Cajun.
Well, do you want to move on to Wallace Stevens?
Oh, shit.
After disposing of Poe?
Well, in 2014, April, I hope this program has some juice for people, but, I wrote a thing about Ivy and, the women in Greece, because of Bacchus, the god of ecstasy, were allowed to go crazy and nuts and run into the wilderness. And so I wrote this poem, Ivy, and I think I'll start a little bit there. And Ivy, I disagree with its critics who describe tenacious ivy as invasive. Sure it is. It can strangle native trees. However, one can chop it back and liberate native species. Ivy is the signature vine of Bacchus, or in Greek, Dionysus, the god of ecstasy, drunkenness, and bacchanalia. Greek women went mad and ran naked in the wilderness. They ate raw flesh, escaped their husbands, boyfriends, women's lib, and male domination for a time. The Bacchae, the women were named, were fierce, free from society for a day or two anyway. Went crazy, so do I. Release inhibition, then celebrate the wild goat of nature. British Philistines, Greek lovers, planted it around cottages, university walls. Evergreen ivy never withers or dies. Its persistence is a sign of the power of nature to endure. Michelangelo's great grape and vine festooned Bacchus is a sensual, joyous marble masterpiece. My botanical book claims ivy heals certain ills. Wine sparks and soothes the human spirit. Everywhere I go and see green ivy, eternal and ecstatic, I drink a toast to its inspiration and the Greek gods, white wine, wild women, art, and earth soul. I pluck a leaf and put it in my pocket for good luck. And just a couple more little remarks here, and we need a little more music. We'll do something. one can't escape being God. That's one of my sayings. One can't escape being God. Even though there is no God, we make God up. We become God. Quote, the nature of nature, capital N, is changing. Planetary history will never be the same. We all know this. We feel it at an intuitive level. 2014 again, and 2014. Life, light, and love, all capitals, are one. Now, come on, Walt.
Walt Stevens.
Okay, Walt Stevens. Play a bit of the little old man.
Seventh and
no, we recording. Don't. We don't do that. The hell. No, we don't. We can't do this. This is not going to work. We're not doing this. This is we're going to cue and I'm going to do. You know, I wonder. You talk about Wallace Stevens because I got one of his books and he's just amazing. You know, really amazing guy. Amazing guy. So. In his well, okay, we don't have much time, do we?
No, got about 7 minutes at this point.
Okay. Well, Wallace Stevens was an insurance executive and kind of a colorless guy. You corrected on me on that.
Or I may be wrong.
but he has a strange, I think he used the word oblique way of writing a poem.
Yes.
And he was a kind of philosophical poet, which a lot of poets aren't particularly, I think. But I'm going to do an anecdote of the jar. I want you to think about this. I placed a jar in Tennessee, and round it was upon a hill. It made the slovenly wilderness surround that hill. The wilderness rose up to it and sprawled around, no longer wild. The jar was round upon the ground and tall and of a port in air. It took dominion everywhere. The jar was gray and bare. It did not give a bird or bush like nothing else in Tennessee. And the poem that I really loved, and I'm going to go out with doing the Picasso painting, the blue, but 13 ways of looking at a blackbird. And the one I really love is, I really love The Emperor of Ice Cream.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hell is that? Come on, Well, anyway, I'm going to go out by playing guitar and God help you all. But where's the Emperor of Ice Cream? The only emperor is the Emperor of Ice Cream. Scream. Ice Cream. You can't. Ice Cream, you scream. Anyway, we're running out of time here. But the Wallace Stevens, you might be surprised at how philosophical and I never find anything when I want it. But the Emperor of Ice Cream is all right. But so okay. We'll turn it up. We got it. You're the man with the blue guitar. It's from the Picasso painting. There's a hunched over old man who's got a blue guitar. I have a blue guitar in front of me. They said you have a blue guitar. You do not play things as they are. The man replied, things as they are changed upon the blue guitar. And then they said, but play. You must attune beyond us, yet ourselves. Attune upon the blue guitar of things exactly as they are. I gotta bring a world quite round. I patch it best as I can. I sing a hero's head, large eyes, and bearded bronze, but not a man, although I patch him as I can, reach through him almost to man. It's the serenade almost to man is to miss by that things as they are. Say that it's the serenade of a man that plays a blue guitar. Ah, but to play man number one, to drive the dagger in his heart, to lay his brain upon the board, to nail his thought across the door, to strike his living high and ho, tick and tock it, turn it true, to hang it from a savage blue, a blue jangling the metal of the strings. So, that's life then. Things as they are, that's a question mark. It picks its way on the blue guitar. A million people on one string, and all their manner in the thing, and all their manner right and wrong, and all their manner weak and strong. The feelings crazily crafty call like a burning of flies in autumn air, and that's life. Then things as they are, the burning of the blue guitar. Do not speak to us of the greatness of poetry, of the torches wisping in the underground, of the structure of vaults upon a point of light. There are no shadows in our sun. Day, denier, desire, night, sleep. There are no shadows anywhere. The earth for us is flat and bare. There are no shadows. Poetry exceeding music must take the place of empty heaven and its hymns. Ourselves in poetry must take their place, even as the chattering of your guitar, attuned beyond us as we are, yet nothing changed by the blue guitar. Go read some Wallace Stevens. I'm going to put on... And we're ending here. We're ending, aren't we?
We're ending here.
We got to end here, God damn it. Come on, Curtis. Okay, hit it. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
Who knows?
You tell us what it means.
It means KBO Portland.
KBO Portland and...
Talking Earth.
With my engineer, Patrick Bocard, and, you know, I wanted to indulge myself and have a happy unbirthday when you're 81.
And don't let them
try to twist your arm so that you get... I hate the song Happy Birthday. I hate it. Okay, let's just wind out with it. Yeah. Adios.